Blog Talk Radio. That was Donnie McKirkland. The song is Creating Me a Clean Heart, and that's from his CD, The Essential Kingdom Greetings. And welcome to Tamaya Deliverance Ministries, the study in the Word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless his holy name. Hosea, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse, says that my people perish, or my people are destroyed, depending on the translation, for the lack of knowledge. Knowledge is a body of facts or information that is gained through study and experience. A sister in Christ from Tennessee wrote a blog about getting understanding, and understanding is really comprehending. It's fruitless to have the knowledge, but you don't understand what the words are saying. Lord, as we read, study, and meditate upon your word, God, I ask that you would give us your divine knowledge, your divine understanding, your divine revelation and wisdom. Open our eyes to see your words clearly in the Bible. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Give us a heart to receive your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to talk about understanding SIT, S-I-T. And SIT, the acronym SIT, stands for Sin, Iniquity, and Transgression. Now, there is a lot to be said about those three terms, and we're just limited to 30 minutes on today. But if you want the study in its entirety, please send me an inbox on Facebook under Seer Siobhan Simmons, or the information that's listed on the blog page. Sin, iniquity, and transgression have been around since Genesis. If we read from Genesis to Revelation, you will see sin, iniquity, and transgression in some form or fashion. Some people use these terms interchangeably, but they are totally different. Sin is rebellion against God. Adam and Eve introduced sin to us, humans, that is, by being disobedient in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis, the second chapter, verses 16 through 17, God gave specific instructions to Adam and Eve. He says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely." In other words, you're free to eat from any of the trees I have created. But if we look at verse 17, there is a conjunction. And from the King James Version, the conjunction is but. That word but means except. So verse 17 says, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." You can eat of any tree that I have created except for this one particular tree, and that is the tree of knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because he says, in the day that you eat of the tree, thou shalt surely die. In other words, if you eat of the tree that I told you not, and that tree is the knowledge of good and bad, from that tree you shall not eat. And the moment you eat from it, you are surely doomed to die. The result of sin is death, spiritually and or naturally. And we know that Adam and Eve subsequently ate from that tree, and they died spiritually. Sin will separate us from God. Sin stinks in the nostril of God. And when sin comes in, we're no longer in that close union with God. We have, in an instance, separated ourselves. Because, remember, God is holy. And he's not going to be with anything that's unholy. And before sin entered the picture, God walked amongst Adam and Eve. So God is the lawgiver. Sin has a way of making us do what we want to do. Sin is any word, any action, any thought or emotion that is against God's will for our life. Remember, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows what's going to happen in the middle, and what's going to happen at the end. If we look at Genesis, the fourth chapter, verses 3 through 17, and I'm just going to give you a synopsis of it, we have Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, God required them to give their best sacrificial offering. Abel gave his best, his first fruit. Cain gave whatever he wanted. Cain, we can say, was rebellious in his offering. Better yet, we can say Cain even had an attitude. And you know, sometimes that's how we are. God will tell us, "I want you to go and speak to so-and-so." But because that person has not been kind to us, because they have maybe have been abrupt with us, then we decide, well, if they're not going to speak to me, I'm not going to speak to them. And in a sense, we have become rebellious. We have gone against the plan that God has, and we've allowed sin to come in. Same thing with Cain. He had a little attitude because his brother Abel gave the best to God. The emotion is directed. When we have an attitude, that attitude, the first two letters, at, A-T, our emotion is directed at something or someone. So Cain had an issue of offering the best to God. His attitude was at God and not his brother, but he took it out on his brother. God desires us to walk in righteousness, and righteousness is doing what is right and pleasing in God's eyesight. Sometimes we get it twisted. We think what's good and what's right in our sight, what's good and what's right to us. But that's not what God desires. He desires us to walk in righteousness always, the things that are pleasing unto him. Psalms 119 and 11 states, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." We want to do what's pleasing to God. And if we want to do what's pleasing to God, the last thing you want to do is sin against him. Amen. So now the other term that we need to look at in our sit is iniquity. Iniquity is wickedness, evil, perversity, gross, immoral act. Psalms 119:133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Iniquity is a little more, it's a little deeper than sin. Sin, your rebellion. You still have that choice to say, God, I'm sorry. You know, it could just be not casting down a thought with our sin. Remember, the Bible tells us to cast down every imagination, every thought that may exalt itself against God. We might do something, you know, God may use us for his glory, but instead of giving God the glory, we allow man to pump us up saying, oh, what a mighty woman of God, what a mighty man of God. But you know what? We're nothing. We are just a shell that he uses. And so it's not us that's performing the act, but it's God operating through us. So you, if you don't cast down that pride, that sin will start rising up, and it will lead to iniquity. And again, iniquity is wickedness, evil, perversity, gross, immoral act. Iniquity is also described as a sinful desire or a sexual lust. In Genesis, the sixth chapter, the third verse, it reads, "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man." The fifth verse reads, "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Iniquity is something that builds, is something that continues on and on and on and on. It could start out with a little rebellion. "Well, God, you told me to do this, but I'm not going to do it." And then you don't repent. And see, then you allow it to build. And so not only are you being rebellious, you're ignoring God's urgency. You're ignoring the Holy Spirit telling you, then remember, the Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit is our keeper. He's telling you, don't do that. You know that's not right. but you supersede that and you continue on. And the next thing you know, you allow your eyes to kind of be lustful and start liking those things that you know is not pleasing to God. So when we look at verse 5, Genesis 6, verse 5, it says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It was continuous. Everything that man could think of, he did. He didn't cast down those imaginations. He just allowed it to compile and compile and compile. And if you know anything about the mind always has a way of making things either look really, really good or make something small look really, really bad. And so we allow iniquity to settle in. And iniquity originates in the heart. The Bible says, out of the mouth flows the issues of the heart. The heart is the central organ of everything, your whole body. You can be brain dead, and your heart will still be beating, and it'll continue to make all the organs in your body function. But once the heart stops, everything stops. So the heart is very vital. You know, sometimes we hold things in our heart. We can't seem to forgive. And all of a sudden, somebody cut you off in traffic. It goes from, okay, maybe they didn't realize that they cut me off shortly. Maybe they thought they had more room in which to maneuver. Not even thinking that perhaps there is an emergency in that car or an emergency at the other end. But then instead of saying, oh, Lord, I pray that they get to their destination safely, we start allowing that thought to fester. We allow that thought to build. And the next thing, we go from having feeling sorrowful for them to wishing the worst thing that could happen to them. Remember, whatever is in our heart has to come out. If there's goodness in our heart, goodness is going to come out. If there's evil in our heart, evil is going to come out. If you turn with me to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, verses 26 through 28, it reads, I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you. Taken from your bodies, your stony heart. When you allow iniquity to enter in, that nice, moist, calm heart becomes cold and callous. And the only way to turn you around would be God working on your heart, to create in you a new heart and a new spirit. He says, I will put my spirit within you. And we know that God is holy. And if he's holy, then holiness is going to be within us. And then he says, and make you live by my statutes carefully to observe my decree. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. The thing that we fail to realize is that when we allow sin to come in, sin has already separated us from God. When we allow iniquity to come in, we've allowed it to fester. We've allowed it to grow. We've allowed that sin to fester. We've allowed that sin to grow. But now we're at a new level. We've got iniquity. We're hardened. We're evil. And we care about no one or no thing. It's always about me, 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 I. And so if we are God's people, then we will serve him. We will do those things that are pleasing to him. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, first, God is saying, you know what, I'm not even sure I'm looking at your actions, and I can't see how you can say that you're my child. Your actions don't line up with who I am. Because remember, we're supposed to represent Christ in everything that we do. We're supposed to be in his image. That's why we are Christians. We are Christ-like. Amen. But if he looks down from heaven and he can't find us because he can't see his image in us, because when he looks down, he's not looking down for you. He's looking down for his spirit. He's looking down for his characteristics that should be dwelling within us. So he says, if my people, you know, and I got a question about that, because your actions says differently. The things that come out of your mouth, you know, I'm not sure. Because we should let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. How can fresh water and salt water mix together? They can't. So one minute we can't be singing, holy, 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 and then the next minute you're cussing like a sailor, excuse the expression, left to right. And you may not be using profanity, but the harshness of your word. The Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. When God drew us to him, he wasn't harsh. He was loving. He was kind. And that's what got us to be drawn to him. And if Christ dwells within us, that same loving kindness that drew us, we should be using that same tone to draw somebody else. So he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And remember, we're talking about iniquity. We've allowed that iniquity, that sin, to grow to now it's iniquity. And remember, we said that iniquity is wickedness. Iniquity is evil. Iniquity is gross immoral act, perversity. So we've allowed it to grow. We've allowed it to build itself up so much. It's bigger than life. So now, because we want to be called his child, we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to acknowledge that we are nothing. We are who we are because of him. We're no greater than the master, and the master is great. He says, shall humble themselves. And here again is a conjunction and. You've got to do this as well. You've got to pray. And pray is communication with God. Pray is a two-way street. You know, we speak and then we be silent and let him speak to us. And he can speak many ways. He can speak into our spirit. He can speak to us through his word. He can speak through us to us through songs. He can speak to us through someone else. He can speak to us in a dream. But the thing about the prayer is that we've got to still our spirit so that we can hear him. Amen. So we've got to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. It says, and seek my face. You're looking for God. You're looking for his face. You're looking for his presence, remember, because sin will separate us from God. And so we're no longer clothed like that. We've allowed that separation to come. So now we're looking for his face. We're earnestly seeking after him. We've denied ourselves. We realize that we're nothing. We're constantly talking to him. We're seeking his face. And here's the key word. We're turning from iniquity. We're turning from our wicked ways. And when you turn from something, it doesn't mean turn to see what the other side looks like and turn back. No, you're turning. You're leaving that mess because it says turn from thy wicked ways. Acknowledging all the things that have got you in that point that you've allowed iniquity to become bigger than life. And then he says, and then, only then, after you do all those things, only then will I hear from heaven and I will heal your land. Remember, the heart holds all the issues of life. Everything that goes on in your mind first comes from the heart. You don't want it to grow root. For the sake of time, I'm going to move quickly and talk about transgressions. And again, remember that if you want to hear the study in its entirety, just inbox me and I can send you out a CD or I can send you an MP3. But transgression is a violation of God's law. Transgression produces death and destruction. If you turn with me to 1 Chronicles, the 10th chapter, it talks about Saul. And if you know the story about Saul, he was king. He was anointed king because the people desired a king. But Saul progressed from sin to iniquity to transgression. He just never turned from his wicked ways. He never really acknowledged that, look, God, I've sinned, forgive me, I repent. He would do a little, but not totally. So God had it with him. And so if we look at the 1 Chronicles, the 10th chapter, this is the death of Saul and his king and his sons. They were in battle. And if you look at the 13th verse, it says, Saul died for his unfaithfulness to the Lord because he did not keep the Lord's word. He even consulted a medium for guidance, but he did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. Sin will lead you to death, spiritually or naturally. The thing about God is that he's so merciful and he warns us. He will give us warning after warning. And it gets to the point when you're not listening to God. If you're not listening to God, you're surely not going to listen to man. If we look at Psalms 37 and 38, Psalms 37 and 38, it talks about destruction. And it reads, but transgressors will all be eliminated. The future of the wicked will be destroyed. The salvation of the righteous is from. Also, know that you can be forgiven by your confession, and we find that in Psalms 32:1. Verses 1 and verses 5, and also through the atoning death of Jesus, and a very familiar passage, which is Isaiah 53:5-6. I thank you for tuning in. I know this was a quick study in the Word, but again, the entire study is on CD or MP3. If you desire it, please send me an email at Sierra Simmons, Simmons, at hotmail.com. God bless you. And tune in next Tuesday at 6 p.m. when we look again at sin, iniquity, and transgression, looking at Psalms 51, a psalm of true repentance. God bless and have a gorgeous day in the Lord.